Praise the Lord. No, I'm good. It's all underneath, so you can't get anything. It's all... Oh, Lord, we love you. Thank you, Jesus. How many people are here for the very first time? Don't raise your hand yet. It's an honor to have you. I want to welcome you. All these wonderful people that you see here, I pray that we'll greet you. I always say it like this. We do not receive or accept cliques in church. Now, there'll be always somebody that say, yeah, but there are. And that's okay. We just don't agree with it. So if you're in a clique, then don't be in one. Amen. I mean, start being a family. Because if we're a family, and I'm not saying that it's a clique just because you like to sit next to someone or you sit on the same side every time. If you start moving around, I'm not going to find you. So I'm just used to you being right there. But there's something about just being in a family when God says to go and minister to someone else. Why not sit with someone else you don't know? Then do that. The Bible says to be led by the Spirit of God because we're sons and daughters of God. And so, thank you so much, all the new people that came. I pray you have a wonderful, wonderful experience at Cowboy Church. We're a church that anybody can come. You don't have to be a cowboy. Even though it's called a cowboy church, it's just a bait. It's a bait to the Western world that were raised a little bit like me. They don't feel comfortable in suit and ties. And a lot of times they won't come to a church if they don't feel comfortable the way they dress. And so I like to dress nice. I like to put on a little coat. But it doesn't matter. However you come, I just want you to come because you're welcome here. Amen? So we want to welcome anyone that has never been to Cowboy Church before. I hope when you came in, you got a visitor packet. And if you didn't, when you raise your hand, if you didn't get a packet, just wave it a couple times. And these ushers are so quick that they will get you an usher packet. And inside that packet will be a visitor card and a pen. And I want you to fill it out. So if you've never been to Cowboy Church, would you allow us to welcome you with a big round of applause? All I need you to do is raise your hand up. Let us see you. Thanks for being here, y'all. Thanks for coming. Thank you for being here this morning. Honored to have you. Thank you so much. Guys, would y'all pass out some offering envelopes as the crowd applauds you and the Lord for tithes and offerings? Now, you heard me right. I love to clap for tithes and offerings because what that means is, number one, thank God that we have the finances to give to the Lord. But when you really understand sowing and reaping, given to the Lord through tithes, offerings, first fruits, or alms, when you really understand it, oh man, you'll start finding out that God wants you to have an abundance of finances. But you heard me say it many times, listen to me. God does not want finances to have you, though. He does not want money to have you. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, I saw some things that I just want to share with you real fast when I was studying. And it's found in verse 17 and 18. Now, if you go back up to verse 10, you'll see that one scripture that usually most people misinterpret. Matter of fact, a lot of people misstate it because they immediately talk about money being the root of all evil. How many of you ever heard that before, that money is the root of all evil? And then when you're at a church that teaches correctly, you'll find out that the Bible doesn't say anything about money being the root of all evil. But what it does say is the love of money is the root of all evil. Okay? I don't want you to major on that because none of us in here love money. If you do, you need to not do that, because it will begin to control you. And it's never good to be controlled by anything other than God. But what happens is, I want you to start understanding all the way down in verse 17 and 18. Because God, again, wants you to have a lot of finances. That's why we work so hard to get the stuff. And if it doesn't control you, but rather you control it, it can be a blessing to you. But look at the warning that was given to us in 1 Timothy. Again, chapter 6 and verse 17 and 18. Charge them that are rich. Okay? So it didn't say, God, don't let anybody be rich. There's a lot of very well-off people in this church. He wants you to be very sound financially. But he says, charge them that are rich in this world that they not be high-minded, nor trust the uncertain riches, but in a living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. A lot of people are like, yeah, man, why does that guy own a boat? Why does he own a nice horse trailer? Why does he have that big old truck? Why do they live in such a nice home? And people can say that to any of us. But really, God wants you to have anything you desire to enjoy. But did you notice the first warning that he said? He said, but don't let them be high-minded and trust in uncertain riches, but rather trust in the living God, who actually is the one who gives it to you to enjoy. But look at verse 18. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. And then it talks about laying up in stores for themselves a good foundation and so on. Here's what the Bible's trying to teach all of us. Whatever you do, you're making finances, have the right heart to be led by the Spirit of God. Because if God blesses you, why wouldn't you be a blesser to someone that might need it? I mean, our church helps a lot of people. And the reason that we help people is because we want to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer. It's our job to teach this Bible correctly, that God wants you to be well off financially, but not to be selfish. No, why not spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to the uttermost parts of the world? And so that's the reason I don't take a salary at this church, is because I want to do it God's way. I don't want to ever have finances controlling me. I want to make sure that I use finances in the right way and let God be the blesser of it in Jesus' name. Amen. So when you give in these buckets, I want you to give with that attitude. That God just, He wants you to have it, but man, don't let money control you. Be a blessing to the kingdom of God. Amen. So come give with a big old shout of praise, would you? Jesus. Amen. All right, let's pray over all the givers. And I realize people give online. It's amazing how many give online. Thank you for doing that. It's an honor that you just give to a church. We do everything debt-free. Oh, man. We worked hard for the rodeo, where I believe on the 10th, which is a Monday, we made enough finances to stain all of this and carpet this. So on the 10th, they said they're going to try to start on the 10th and be done by Saturday. And so hopefully by the, whatever that Sunday is, what, 17th, we'll be on some new stained concrete. Amen. So praise the Lord for that. But let's pray over this, over the people that gave. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for all the people that gave and the ones that give online, the ones that give just at different times. Thank you, Lord, that you're teaching us that you want us to be prosperous. but you just don't want the finances, the jobs, the work to control us. No, you want to be in control of us in all areas of our life, including finances. So, Father, give us the heart to pray and intercede that if there's someone that just needs some help or another ministry of this church that just needs to bloom, and like the youth group or the children's ministry or the rodeo ministry, Father, that's where you want us to give, we're willing to do it. So, Father, thank you for the givers. God, return it to them in Jesus' name. Amen. If the guys would pass out some communion things, and I didn't eat a lot, so I'm going to grab a couple of these. I'm kidding. Just kidding. Kidding around, Lord. Just a joke. Lord knows my heart. He laughs at me a lot. He'll say, "That was funny, son." Or he might say, "That was a little goofy," you know. But that's the way the Lord talks to me. When I pray, I don't change the way I pray. I don't pray in King James vernacular when I pray to the Lord. I just pray how I talk. And he understands my Texas accent. It's amazing. Glory be to God. Thank you. Janet, he understands your twang. You go, girl. You know, I love it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Bible talks about communion. Really fast, we take communion once a month, usually. And the reason that we do that is because I think it's important for the body of Christ to always remember what Jesus did for you and I when He was crucified and then raised from the dead. Now, I realize that the crucifixion was a very, very harsh thing that happened to the Lord Jesus. And all of us believers know that He did it for a reason. He redeemed us from the curse of the law. The Bible says that His blood that was shed covers a multitude of sin. Say amen to that. I mean, glory be to God. Because I did some stuff in college that I needed quite a bit of covering. The party was at my house in college. I know how to have fun, brother. Woo! Well, it's just a temporary fun, you know, while it lasts, but then the next morning it wasn't fun. Who can testify to that? Stand up if you can. Just kidding. No, I know you'd stand up, but I don't want you to. Thank God that someone that remembers my past, I always respond to them, "Hey, that's the old man. I'm a brand new person in Christ." Now, even though I got saved at 10, 1979, May the 10th, I still had the temptation to walk away from the Lord, and I did that for 2 years. Even though mom and dad were in the ministry, my dad was a pastor, mom and dad led the singing at services or at churches growing up, Morenci, Arizona, never forget. They were the song leaders there. We were little kids. I went to visit that church you remember the name of that church? In Morenci? First Baptist Church? And I went to visit it and sent pictures back to mom and dad, and they talked about that the carpet was still the same color. It's amazing. But listen to me. There's something about understanding who you are in Christ and what Jesus actually did for us. Because the day after those 2 years that I got on my knees and said, "God, forgive me." Right? Then God remembered my sin no more. all because of what happened when he was crucified and then the third day raised from the dead. Remember when he was raised, the Bible said he didn't ascend first. He descended to the belly of the earth, which was hell. So not only did Jesus conquer the grave, he conquered death, but he also conquered hell. And you know why he did that? He conquered and went to hell so that you don't have to. And you don't want to. It's a very bad place. I'm trying to get people into the kingdom as fast as I can because you don't want to live forever and ever and ever and ever in a place called hell. You cannot play cards with your buddies. I've heard that growing up. No, it's isolation. The Bible says it's so dark. Think about in the dark, the fear. Remember the Apostle Paul that was dropped in the underneath roof into the basement area. It has a little old hole when you study it out. The Bible calls it the Mamertine prison. He was dropped in there and then they sealed it off. That's where the prisoners went. Utter darkness. And think about how the enemy would bring... You can read about this in the book of Philippians. And the enemy would bring just terrible thoughts to his mind. He couldn't see anything, so he didn't know what was crawling around. Torture, pain in his mind, but yet in his physical body, because they chained him up by the arms where he couldn't sit. And Jesus died so that he could remain in joy in the midst of trials and tribulations of his life. Because that's where he wrote about joy 17 times in the book of Philippians, in a prison called Mamertine. All because of what Jesus did for us. His broken body and his blood being shed. So I don't have to read the story to you. But what I do want you to realize is I want you to never forget about his broken body and his shed blood that redeemed us from the curse like we talked about earlier and forgave us of the multitude of sin in this world. He covered it all because of his broken body and his blood being shed. So as you eat this bread, the Bible says do it in remembrance of him, Jesus. So let's take eat. And then as we drink, same thing. We're doing it as in remembrance of what Jesus did for us. Amen. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in the lives of us believers. And Jesus, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for dying for us and then being raised from the dead, because you really didn't die. You're still alive. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. All right, pass them to the end. Don't leave any remnants in the cup. Did you have gum in your mouth while you took the bread? Very good to keep it on one side. It's my wife. She's talented. All right. Is the aisles clear? Oh, I can't wait. They're going to do some awesome things in the youth group. If you're 7th grade to 12th grade, you're going to have a blast in youth group today. They are doing something pretty special. Matter of fact, they told me they're going to talk about a cow's tongue. So we had to go get them a cow's tongue. Yeah, I don't know if it's live, but I mean, I don't remember them coming to my place and don't say anything about that. So. What's the big secret? And if you're if you're 11 and under, you're fixing to have a blast. So, with a big round of applause, you're dismissed. Big round of applause. Bye. Hey, you didn't tell me not to say anything. Communication. Praise the Lord. Oh, come on. How many brought your Bibles? Raise your Bible real fast. We're going to jump into this. Woo, Jesus. I don't know if I can finish today, but I'll be here next week and I'll finish this message because it's something that you and I need. As the pastor of this church, it's my job and responsibility to give you the knowledge on how to live by in the kingdom of God in these last days. Say amen to that. Because you need to know how to live in these days. If you live in fear, it's going to be tough for you. Oh. If you live in doubt, any kind of unbelief, no matter what you go through, called a trial and tribulation, the temptation is to do that, live in fear, doubt, unbelief. You're in trouble. But thank God for Jesus. Oh, man. And so, we're going to talk about a few things. And I want to start it out in Matthew chapter 13. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13. And as we get into this word, you'll start finding out where we're going with this. Matthew chapter 13. But in your mind, I want you to always kind of understand that what I'm doing here is helping us know how to live in these last days. I think it's very tiring to see the people that continue to be tormented by the enemy. Look at me. The devil is just a fallen angel. He is not made in the image of God like you and like me. So why in the world would you be afraid of a devil? Now, during the pandemic last year, when it hit, ooh man, there was a lot of fear going around, especially in the elderly community. All those with gray hair. That's wisdom. I got it. I'm not ashamed of it. I've worked hard to get it. And that fear, oh man, it just ran across the country. And it's even overtaken children. And now they're used to wearing, you know, masks and things. And I'm like, but that doesn't even affect children. Haven't you seen the studies? Now we have a president that finally came out and said that you don't have to wear one outside. He's late to the party. Because we hadn't wore a mask from the beginning. Now, some that need to wear it. Because I've never been against a mask. As y'all know, I'm just against a government trying to make us wear the thing. You want to wear one, that's fine with me. I think it's a problem, though, because it's kept everybody's immune system down. instead of just living your life. Okay? But even if you needed to do that or needed to be home, those are good things. That's wisdom. But it doesn't need to be controlled. So that enemy, what he did is he brought fear on a lot of people. Okay? So as the pastor, I knew what to do. It was kind of like when I moved here 18 years ago and started this church at Smiling V Ranch about a mile down the road. The people came to me and said, "Hey, brother, you just need to know something. This is a very poor community. It's going to be hard to make it." Well, I knew what to do immediately. I started teaching about finances because that's all it was. Is no one understood how to prosper in God's kingdom. And I can share testimony after testimony about God and His blessing on the believer that would just get into the principle of sowing and reaping. And it changed everything. That's why we're building everything debt-free. People are amazed. All around the country, by the way, that know this church, they're amazed that we are doing everything pretty much like the Apostle Paul started the church at Corinth or the Ephesus church, the Philippian church, etc. We're not real big into the religious part of church, like bulletins and, you know, worrying about the offering count on the back wall and the attendance and, you know, 16 committees taking up 14 offerings. We don't do any of that kind of stuff. You know what we're interested in? You getting born again. And then after you get born again, getting taught and discipled and taught the Word of God. That's why God has put together the team of ministers that minister here, including Bible study on Tuesdays. And it's again because it's our job that we need to be prepared for what's going to happen in these end times. And we're seeing some wild things happen. But you, as a believer, need to know how to act, how to be, and how to operate in God's kingdom in these last days. Amen? So keep that in your mind as we're learning what God wants to teach us this morning and possibly next Sunday. Matthew chapter 13, say amen if you're there. Verse 1 says, "The same day Jesus went out of the house, sat by the seaside. A great multitude were gathered." That's a lot of people, right? "They were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship, sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. He spoke many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold," this is in red, "a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some," underline that word, some seeds fell by the wayside. The fowls came," that's the birds, "devoured them up. Some," there's that word again, "fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of the earth. When the sun was up, it was scorched. And because they had no root," remember that seed which was some withered away. Verse 7, "Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up, choked them. But others fell into good ground, brought forth some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. And then it says this, "Who has ears to hear? Let him hear." God's talking to you and I right now. Verse 10 says, "And the disciples came, said unto him, Why speak thou unto them in parables? He answered and said," this is cool, "he said, because it's given unto you to know the mysteries," underline that word mysteries, because we're going to talk about mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, "but to them," who's them? The ones that are needing the parable, "to them it's not given," talking about mysteries, "for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath." Here's what that means, just real fast, and then we'll move on. Hopefully, every single person that is listening to my voice here in this audience or watching live is born again. Jesus is the Lord of your life. And if he is, then you're the one that has. You have the Spirit of God living on the inside of you. Therefore, nothing should be a mystery to you and I, because we have the keys to the kingdom of God. We should know the mysteries of the Lord. So we're going to explain it a little bit. But if you're not born again, you're going to have to be taught in parables so that you can understand some things. Now listen to me carefully, because don't get me wrong. Christians that are born again, a lot of times rely just on parables. But you don't need that in your life. Not in these last days. You need to know who you are in Christ Jesus. Okay? So stay with me. Verse 12 says, "For whoever has, to him it'll be given, and he shall have more abundance. Whatsoever that hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he has." In other words, the enemy always tries to come steal the word from our hearts, right? Verse 13, "Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they see, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive." So a lot of things that people see in this world that is happening today, help me Holy Ghost, a lot of people don't understand what's going on because they don't know who they are in Christ Jesus. They don't know the power that resides on the inside of you. You're just living through this life hoping that you have the helmet of salvation on, so that when you die, you don't have to go to hell, you can go to heaven. But yet, right in the midst of your living with the helmet of salvation on, the whole rest of the body is naked, and that's why the enemy causes darts to be hitting you all over, which then causes one possibly to lose the faith and have to be learned by a parable. When you are to be grown up and learning by the Spirit of God, understanding who you are in Christ, that the devil comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's his job, because if you know who you are in Christ Jesus, you're going to understand the attacks that are on you and I today. And you're going to know how to deal with those attacks. Okay, so it's going to get a little deep here. Let's just let it. Okay? Let's let it. Glory be to God. Now, I want you now to turn, because we don't have to continue to go and keep talking about this. I want you now to go to Luke's Gospel, chapter 8. Chapter 8, and it's going to start helping us understand a few things. Luke chapter 8 verse 1 says, "And it came to pass afterward." Now this is the same account by Luke's account, okay? We're going to see about Mark's account here in just a second. But you're going to learn a few things in each account. "It came to pass afterwards that he went throughout every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with them. A certain woman, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils." Praise God for that. "And Jonah, the wife of Chuzza, Herod's steward, Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. And when much people," here's these people starting to come, "were gathered together, and were come to him out of the city, he spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, And when he sowed, some fell by the wayside. It was trodden down. The fowls of the air devoured it. Some fell upon the rock. And as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Verse 7, and some fell among the thorns. The thorns sprung up, choked it out. Others fell on good ground. Thank God for good ground. Sprang up, bear fruit 100-fold. That's what I like. It didn't say 60 or 30. I'm okay with that, but I want 100. Okay. And when he said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And I say that right now. Have ears to hear what God's trying to say right here. Okay. Verse 9, his disciples ask him, saying, what might this parable be? So there's a question, right? Man, they're thinking about this. Why are you talking about seed? And he said unto them, unto you is given to know the mysteries. There's that word mystery again. The mysteries of the kingdom of God. He's saying, a believer, you disciples, you should know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to others, I'm going to have to teach in a parable. These might be the people that aren't quite ready to know what to do when a trial and tribulation comes. So I'm going to have to teach them in a parable until they get it, right? That seeing, middle of verse 10, that seeing they might not see and hearing that they might not understand. Now the parable is this. Underline this, y'all. The seed is the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been preaching about seed, that everything is a seed, for 20 plus years, over 25 years. Everything is a seed. But in order to live in these last days, you need to get the seed on the inside of you. And what is the seed again? The Word. The Word of God is the seed. That's why it's so important that we not allow the dust to grow on these Bibles on the coffee table. That we get it into our heart to know who we are in Christ. Again, you don't want to be the one that just has the helmet on. Thank God you're saved. You need to be the one that has the full armor of God on so that you can withstand in the evil day the enemy that is trying to steal, kill, and destroy your life. And how does he do that? Through lots of defeats. Through lots of mind contamination. He's constantly wanting to bring things in your mind that would cause you to go away from the Word of God, from the seed. And Jesus is trying to say, look, you guys that has ears to hear, the ones that are born again, I need you to not try to figure out what the mystery is. You need to know what the mystery is. And the mystery is knowing who you are in Christ Jesus. Okay. Here in just a second, I'll start getting you to yell louder with more enthusiasm. Okay. Now, let's go on. Let's do this. Verse 12, look at this. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then comes the devil and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They are on the rock. They on the rock are they. Because now, remember, look at me just for a second. It's talking about places where some seeds fell. And now Jesus is trying to say, okay, here's why I'm saying what I'm saying in a parable. Now, you believers, it doesn't need to be a mystery to you. You need to understand who you are. You need to understand the power that lives on the inside of you. Amen? Okay? Okay, look at this. Then they that are on the rock are they which, when they hear, they receive. they receive it with joy. And these have no roots, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation it falls away. Okay, so a lot of times people receive the word, and again, here's got to be people hearing this stuff in a parable, because they may not know who they are in Christ Jesus. They'll receive the word, then they'll go through another trial and tribulation. Something else will happen in their life. They'll go through the same old thing that they just went through, possibly. And then all of a sudden, what happens? The doubt comes. This stuff isn't working. It's kind of like someone tithing for the first time. They're getting a hold of tithing and giving offerings and getting in God's economy. And they'll try it for 6 months. And when things aren't happening the way the testimonies are coming from the ones that's been sowing and reaping for 20 years, a lot of times they give up on it. And all the time that they didn't sow the seed, it's going to have to be some patience, in other words, y'all. There's got to be some patience in the kingdom of God. I mean, you haven't sowed in the kingdom of God in some understanding that you now understand in, and you're expecting things to just change overnight. It's the same with healing, y'all. People are believing God for healing, and then they're wondering why God hasn't healed their infirmity or their sickness or disease immediately. Now, listen to me. God can work in the now faith, Hebrews 11:1. He can work in the now. But a lot of times you've got to understand that sometimes the seeds of, and I was talking to Brandon driving over here this morning. Sometimes all the seeds that we've sown, kind of like a boxer. A boxer that has been boxing all of his life has taken a lot of blows to the head. Would you agree to that? I mean, so all of a sudden they get born again, but yet they have headaches. And a lot of times what messes up a lot of Christians is they're wondering, once they get this revelation of healing, they're mad because the headaches don't leave automatically sometimes. Because sometimes you've got to get the seeds that are deep rooted, that has been in your life for 20 years of boxing, you've got to get that out. And it takes a while to get the seeds that you planted through boxing and things hitting your head, and allow God's faith to grow in you. And sometimes it doesn't happen immediately. Sometimes you still have headaches because of the seeds you planted back when. But when you get the true revelation of who you are in Christ Jesus, then you start digging up those deep-rooted seeds a whole lot faster. But sometimes when you only pick up the Bible once a week, or you only come to church once or twice a month, or you don't pray very much because of the busyness of this world, or you're still doing some carnal things out there in the world, and you're trying to still be kind of a little bit like the world, you're trying to get rid of it, or you're not allowing God to deal with you in a couple of areas of your life, you're wanting to keep them to yourself, those are causing you to not immediately or quickly or now cause the seeds that you've planted over all the years, possibly, of unbelief or whatever darkness some of us might have lived in. You're wanting God to automatically forget about all those seeds, and you not tend to those seeds and manifest what you're believing for God from God right now. And it's not happening. And then people give up on their faith. Why? Because they don't truly know who they are in Christ Jesus. But when you do, brother, and you start getting the Word of God on the inside of you, that's when things start happening now. You just got to have some patience. You just got to know who you are in Christ Jesus. Because the enemy keeps saying how bad you are. You've got to keep saying how good you are in Christ, because you're made in the image of God. Amen. Are they getting it, Lord? I'm trying, Lord. So if you beat up your body for all these years, and then now all of a sudden, You're wanting things to be healed immediately. You're the one that's needing some parables. Because you probably don't know who you are in Christ. But here we are getting mature. Okay, I'm glad you reminded me of something, Lord. Okay. Equilau. Where should I go? Man, because I want to jump right here. But I need to keep building a foundation real fast. Oh, this right here will make an Episcopalian start speaking in tongues. Okay, I'm not going to do it. Okay, but I will get there. Okay, all right, look. Go to verse 14, Luke chapter 8. And they which fell among thorns are they which when they heard go forth and are choked with the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life and brings no fruit to perfection. Look at verse 15. But they on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, praise God, having heard the word, they keep it. All right, he's finally talking to believers here that are willing to go a little deeper into the kingdom of God. Not just the helmet of salvation and try to miss hell. Because it's hotter in Pecos on the 4th. Or hotter wherever you've been hot. You go to Arizona in about June, you can fry an egg on the ground. It's hot. Ooh. Okay? These are the people that heard the word. What is the word? Seed. The seed is the word. Okay? They keep it, brings forth fruit. Uh-oh. Do y'all see what I see right here? With what? Oh, say it louder. With patience. That is a terrible word for the Lord Jesus to be putting in this Bible. What in the world is he doing here? You saying patience? But I'm telling you, if you get a hold of this with patience, you'll get it. I've had so many people come to me over the years of ministry. Again, they're heartbroken, confused, because again, they're believing for this. And it's not happening as fast as they want it to. And usually they give up, go to the bank, borrow some money, so they can get what they've been believing God for. Because they didn't operate in patience. But man, I try to tell people, let's say someone is believing to be, you know, for God to open doors of ministry, let's say. They might wait for years and years and years before an open door comes because of them. If they would actually get out of the way and let God open the door and stop pondering on why it hasn't happened yet, it'll happen faster. Man, what are we doing here this morning? Man, we're trying to get the Word of God sown on the inside of us. Because the word is the seed. All right? Now there's a reason that Jesus is talking here. And look at verse 16. It says, no man, when he hath a lighted candle, covers it with a vessel. You might hear, here's the candle bringing forth light, right? You light the thing so that you can see. And now, why would you cover it up, right? And Jesus is saying, or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a candlestick, that they which enter, it may see the light. For nothing is secret. Oh, man. Remember when we was talking about the mysteries? It's up to you as a believer in Jesus Christ to know the mysteries. Nothing is in secret. And you know what else is in secret? The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember the Bible when it talks about no one knows the day or the time. That's true. And remember when the Bible says that Jesus is going to come back as a thief in the night? That is not talking about you and I. Because that means we haven't looked up. Because our redemption draws nigh. That means we haven't studied the Word of God and started seeing and understanding and perceiving the prophecies of this Word of God. That means we haven't been looking and seeing the signs of the times. If that's you, you're going to have to be taught a lot in parables. Okay? But if you'll keep coming to this church, or you'll go to Bible study on Tuesday, you'll start learning who you are in Christ Jesus, and you'll start learning about the mysteries of the kingdom of God. It should not be a secret to you and I. Matter of fact, the Bible says we're to be led by the Spirit of God, right? Do you realize that third of the Trinity, Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, whatever? Do you realize that He will speak to you right now? Now listen to me. Let me close, because I'm going to have to pick this up, because it gets a lot better. I can't wait. Till next week, I'm going to speak so fast next week that I'm going to finish it. Y'all need to sit on the front row next week, because I'm going to be spitting like you've never seen. Anointed spit. Amen. Because we need to get a hold of this, y'all. That's why I've heard what Ricky preached the last time and what Rusty preached last week. All it is designed to get you and I off of the milk and on the meat. And if we'll get there, nothing is going to get us down. No matter what you go through in these end times, it's not going to even move you. I mean, yeah, I know some of you have been through some tough things this year. I mean, a pandemic, broken bodies. I mean, minds that are hurting, broken relationships. I mean, there's some things that are going on in and around us that are crazy. But guess what? Greater is He that is in us. Who is that? Jesus. Than he that's in the world. We have read the end of the book. We win no matter what. Come on. It's time we start getting excited that if you're born again, I don't even care if you get born again today, you have the dunamis power living on the inside of you. You are someone in Christ Jesus, regardless of what the devil says. You deserve to have a happy and prosperous marriage, praise God. You deserve to be the head and not the tail. You deserve to be above everything that the devil's throwing against you and not underneath it. You need to know who you are in Christ Jesus, so that when the devil tries to tell you you are no good, you tell him to get back under your feet where he belongs. Crawling on the ground like a stinking dirty snake. It's time we start getting into some churches that actually preach the power of God, so that we get our lives right and stop acting like the world. Now listen to me. If you're acting like the world, there's no guilt or condemnation in Christ. So don't let the devil control you with guilt and condemnation. No, just get your life right. You know how it is? By one word. God, forgive me. Because that's what I did. 2 years of living in sin in college, being born again, by the way, and that was the time that I was causing myself to have to be taught by a parable. When I should have been being taught by the Spirit of the living God who lived on the inside of me, that would say, don't do that, son. That's not good for you, boy. And then I would have to make the decision to listen to what he said, or be taught by a parable, because I didn't know the mysteries of God. This is good stuff. I'm telling you, because even if we don't have much word in us and we just barely been born again, or maybe we've been born again for a long time and just are still on the milk. No, we're in the last days. We've got to get the meat of the Word of God. We've got to start living right. That world out there is trying to get us to live wrong. Our government, my Lord, stand up for the United States of America. My Lord, why in the world are we allowing our country to go down the wrong road and away from Judeo-Christian principles? Well, I'll tell you why. Because the church backed up, didn't want to get persecuted. But I'm telling you, not in these days. We don't need to be taught by parables. We need to be taught by the living Word of God that lives on the inside of us. Amen? All right. We're going to go to some epistles next time, and I'm telling you, it's good stuff. So do not miss next week. It's time we start. Listen to me. It's time we start accelerating a lot of things in this church. When we're believing God for things, then we need to accelerate our faith and get some things. Even if it's finances, we need to get some finances in so we can keep ministering to the uttermost parts of the world. We need to accelerate some faith things so that we can start seeing more miracles happening in the body of Christ. Listen to me. I realize this is just a building and we call it a church, but you are the church. We should be seeing miracle after miracle, especially if you know who you are in Christ. If Jesus is the Lord of your life, then we need to start living that example and get our lives right. I know there's a lot of temptations to live like the world. But in these days, if you got the meat on the inside of you, there might be a time that you got to say, you know what? The Bible calls us set apart. And these people over here aren't too good for us. But there's a whole bunch of people in here that I just need in my life. It is amazing, y'all, that so many people come to this church that don't even live close to this church, as we saw by the evidence of hands being raised. Yes, I want our community to flock this place. I want you to be putting these messages and sharing them and talking about and these social media sites about Williamson County Cowboy Church. Because I'm telling you, when they come here, they'll start seeing a different body of Christ. People that don't judge one another, because we've been through it. And we don't want to go back through it. The ones that can actually help. The ones that need the meat of the Word of God. Those are the people, all of us, that the heathens and then the baby Christians are going to be looking to in these last days. Would you please be willing to be the ones that start finding out who you are in Christ and live by the power of God? Come on, you deserve it. Stop listening to the devil about your past. Some of the things that you're doing and you're just struggling in. Man, who cares? If you'll give it to God. If you'll say, God, I'm gonna need your help in this one. I need to overcome this one. You watch what God does in your life. Amen. Father, we love you. We love you. We love you. Thank you, sir, for the engrafted word where we can start getting deep, deep in the Word of God. And it doesn't scare anybody off, but they just start knowing the urgency of the Spirit of God. There's an urgency, sir, that you're wanting us to get a hold to live by the seed of the Word of God. And Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the seed. Thank you. Thank you for the Word of God. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Maybe you're here this morning and it's been a tough year. For some, it's been tough few years. There's possibly others that's just, man, they've been in the blessing of God. And thank God for that. And that's where we all want to be. You know, all of us go through or have the temptation to go through a trial and tribulation. It's not exempt from us believers. We just know how to handle it. The Bible says to be angry, but sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. It talks about give the devil no place in the book of Ephesians. So it's not that we don't go through a trial or a tribulation, because the enemy is no respecter of persons. And all that means is he attacks all of us. It's just how we handle it. How do we handle an attack from the devil? The thought life of the soulless realm, that's where he attacks most people. And how do we handle it? Well, we handle it by the seed of the Word of God. We all go through it. But the key word is, a believer that knows who they are in Christ recognizes the attack. They go through it. They don't stay in the middle of it. If you're here this morning and you're going through some tough times, God knows what it is. He knows the end from the beginning from the end. He already knows what you're going through. But right now, just really, really fast, if you're going through a tough, challenging time in some area of your life, health, finances, relationships, confidence, I don't care what it is. All I want you to do is right where you're sitting, I want you to stick your hand up and let me see it, because I just want to agree with you. Just stick it up. Let me see it. I see all those hands. You're just going through some stuff. Just stick your hand up if you hadn't already. After you stick it up, just go ahead and put it right back down. There's a lot of you. Now, all of you that raised your hand, I want you to put your hand over your heart. As you know, I want you to do this because if we can get the things that we're believing for, the seed of the Word of God from our head into our heart, that's when manifestation comes. That's when things just begin to happen. So all of you that have your hand over your heart, agree with me. Y'all that don't, I want y'all to agree with this prayer as well. You ready? Father, I thank you that every single person that has their hand over their heart, they're in need of something. Deliverance, healing, restoration. Those are all the things that I speak to them in Jesus' name by the Spirit. Father, I thank you right now. Now, you would cause them to just get in such a peace. The Bible says the peace of God that passes the understanding. Sometimes we don't know why we're going through something, but Father, let's get through it. I thank you for causing peace to come to them now in Jesus' name. Cause the seed of the Word of God to go from their head down into their heart. The faith, the belief, the assurance. The assurance that you have for them. Come to them now in Jesus' name. Set them free, sir. Deliver them. Heal their body. Restore in Jesus' mighty name. And Father, we give you praise. Now, as our heads are still bowed, if there's one person in here that does not know the Lord Jesus, I'm talking about if you died, you don't know where you would go, heaven or hell. I'm going to ask you to pray a prayer with all of us in here. We're all going to pray this prayer. But if you'll pray it out loud and mean what you pray, I'm telling you, you'll bust heaven wide open when you leave this earth. And you'll be in the kingdom of God. So pray it. Let's just pray this prayer and ask Jesus to come into our life if we never have. And then all of us that pray it, we're going to pray it with you, and you won't even know. They won't even know that they're praying it with you. You ready? So out of your mouth, church, would you pray this prayer as well? I want you to say this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. Jesus, come in and save me. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Forgive me of all my sins. In Jesus' name I pray. Before I say amen, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, I want you to be bold enough right now. Jesus was not ashamed to die for you. Please don't be ashamed to tell someone that He just came into your life. If you just prayed that prayer for the very first time and you gave your life to Jesus, when I say three, one, two, three, I want you to raise your hand up and say, God, I prayed that prayer and I was born again this morning. Thank you for saving me. And then just put your hand right back down. That's all you're doing. You're confessing Jesus before a man. And Jesus says, I'll confess you before the Father. Don't be ashamed that Jesus is now your Lord. If that was you and you gave your life to Him, again, when I say three, raise that hand up. Be bold. And then just put it right back down. Ready? One, two, three, go. Thank you. Thank you, little one. Appreciate that, little one. Anybody else? Look at me, y'all. I'm going to be preaching a minister's conference in about 2 weeks about a shift. And I don't believe that shift should ever come to this church in the way I'm fixing to tell you. Always, always, always be about bringing people into the kingdom of God. And even though one gave their life to Jesus, a little one over there, we always have to have the heart to get people here to hear about the Word of God. Really, you need to lead them to Jesus out there. But if you don't know how, this is where you have a heart. You've got to be at this church. And you get them here some way. Amen? Because we've always, the Lord showed me that we've got to be about the Father's business. And if they're not born again, then they're going to go to a place called hell. And that cannot be our heart. Amen? So I want to urge you as you're inviting people, because it's time. This church, we should knock the wall out of this church and build some more. Because it's going to be up to all of us, though, that bring people to hear the word that's being taught here. Amen? And I'm telling you, I'm excited to see what God's doing. It's been 18 years. And look at the crowds. They're starting to get bigger. And a lot of times, that doesn't happen except a church that's been here 100 years and it's got deep foundational roots of finances and things like that. And so God's doing something right now. But I realize there could be a shift, and I'm really attentive to a shift of discipleship and mentorship. But I disagree with us ever getting away from an evangelistic spirit of getting people born again. But it's going to be up to us to continue to bring them. Amen? All right. Next week, y'all. Next week, all the people that's been coming here that wants to join our church, I'm going to be here, is when you're going to do it. Next week. We're also going to do baptisms. If you've been born again here and you've never been baptized, or if you've been born again and never been baptized, being born again. You'll be surprised the people that never did get baptized, the first act of obedience after you give your life to Jesus. We're going to do that in that trough back there. I'm going to make sure they have warm water. And we're going to baptize. Amen? Until then, Bible studies at 6:30 on every Tuesday. If you want to start learning about this church more and having more fellowship, young adults, children, it doesn't matter. The older adults, singles, that's where you come and start. If it grows, then there may be a class that needs to start having more young adults come to, and it might not be on Tuesdays. It might, but I'm thinking God's starting to build some things about young adults, young married couples, getting fellowship with each other. Amen. And so if you start coming, let God open the doors in those areas. Amen. Any other announcements that anybody has? Howdy. Ricky, everybody good? Until next week, praise God, let's have fun. Stand to your feet and we'll be dismissed. Did y'all have a good time this morning? Oh, Lord, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for just your mercy that's new every morning. Thank you, Lord, that we're learning the Word of God in a deeper way because it's time. The harvest is ripe. So, Father, thank you, Lord, for doing what you're doing here. We thank you for the blessing on it. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for all the great things that we want to receive and hear, cause to manifest in us and in the church. We love you, sir. Until we come back next week or on Tuesday for Bible study, you don't stay here. You never leave us. You don't forsake us. So you get to go with us right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Big round of applause. You're dismissed.